Open your Bibles to Proverbs. We're going to continue to trace out some of the themes of this great source book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. You won't believe what I did Friday. Friday morning, I can't believe I still can't believe I did it. Friday morning, I went to the grand opening of a grocery store. Trader Joe's, yes. The only two women in the whole world that would make me do that. Julie and Pearl. We had Pearl Friday morning. And so that was on their list, and I went to Trader Joe's opening, and it was just chaos. And, you know, I go to a grocery store once every 24 months, whether I need to or not. And we discovered at the grocery store grand opening that there was a balloon guy. And he would make, you know, the children something out of balloons. And he made for Pearl a pink heart out of a heart balloon and made a strap on it and put it on her wrist. And she walked around the grocery store with that pink heart, and we finally got in the car and we drove away, and we were not a mile from the grocery store when you know what happened, right? Pop. And she didn't throw a fit. No screaming. But, of course, her Mimi immediately said, "Let's go get another one." I said, "We are not going back to get another one." Absolutely not. But then, very quietly but clearly, Pearl said, "My heart broke." By Friday afternoon, we were back in Trader Joe's. I could not stand to hear her again say, "My heart broke." I bet she said it 36 times. "My heart broke." There'll come a day when I can't do anything about that, but I could do something about that one. So we went back and got her another pink heart balloon. My heart broke. Words pack a punch, don't they? Words like that. What three powerful words. My heart broke. Sometimes we minimize words. We say things like, "Oh, forget what I said. I didn't really mean it." Or let that go in one ear and out the other. Or, "That's just talk." We make statements like that to try to minimize our words. We make the mistake, oftentimes in our culture, of assuming that words aren't really all that important. When we read the Bible, we discover that the exact opposite is true. Words matter. And this is an emphasis that begins in the book of Genesis when God speaks the world into existence. And it carries on throughout all of the biblical revelation. And no book in the Bible places more emphasis on our words than does the book of Proverbs. I'm going to overwhelm you with Proverbs tonight. Because one of the things I want you to pick up on is how much the book of Proverbs has to say about our words. To begin with, look at Proverbs chapter 10. Over and over again in Proverbs chapter 10 we find this emphasis. "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is as a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little." Notice that for later on. Notice that tongue, heart. "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding." Look toward the end of the chapter, Proverbs 10:31 and 32. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverted. The wise man is almost obsessive over words, lips, mouth, tongue, speech. In fact, if you take this vocabulary about our words, lip, tongue, mouth, speech, spread that out over the book of Proverbs, you'd find that on average, one in every five Proverbs contains reference to our words. Wisdom is as wisdom speaks. Words are important. And the book of Proverbs teaches us that only fools minimize, dismiss, excuse speech as insignificant. We know that words build up and tear down, they inform and deceive, they cut free, they cut up, and that words are the currency of relationships. Our relationships live and die. They prosper or they go bankrupt because of the words that we speak. So as we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, we've discovered that most of the significant themes in the book of Proverbs have to do with relationships. That to live wisely is to relate well to God and to the people around us. And we've seen the theme of humility as the essential character quality for right relationships with God and man. Humility. We looked last Sunday night at the importance of temper, of controlling our anger. And this evening I want us to think about how wisdom watches words. Let's make three statements really based on Proverbs. Just general observations about all of what the Proverbs says about our words. Let me say them and then we'll deal with them one at a time. In the book of Proverbs we learn your words are powerful. Number two, your words are wild. And number three, your words reveal your heart, your character. First, your words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words are powerful. Sometimes words are used with a destructive force. In fact, the two primary metaphors in the book of Proverbs for the destructive power of our words are a sword and fire. Words can be like a sword, and words can be like fire. The sword penetrates, the fire spreads. They both bring a destructive power. Our words are powerful in a destructive way and in a constructive way. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So when the Bible speaks to us about the power of our words, it's most often warning us about destructive power, but there's also this constructive power. Sweet to the bones, healing to the soul, our words. I grew up as a little boy in a small town, playing outside. And in summertime, we played outside till bedtime. The door kept locking on us. No. Mom was on the inside. We were outside. We'd play night games. We'd run around and play, you know, kick the can and sardines and in the neighborhood. And spotlight we'd play, kind of tag with a flashlight. You ever play spotlight? Yeah, and most games we'd play outside. Our front porch was home base, right? I mean, you could run, and if you got up on the front porch before the spotlight hit you, then you were safe. And that's a That's a good thing, you know, for a child to grow up knowing that if he could just get to his front porch, he was safe. Right? A lot of children don't grow up that way. But we want our homes to be a safe place. And there are a lot of moms and dads and brothers and sisters who would never, ever imagine physical violence. But they will cut with their words like a sword and burn with their words like fire. And we need to remember that words are powerful. Don't really, the word just should never be placed before the word talk. It's never just talk. Right? Don't minimize your words. Words are powerful. Number two, your words are wild. Not only are words powerful, but words are difficult to control. Remember in the New Testament, James says, everything can be tamed except your tongue. And Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3 says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. We need to learn that not only are words powerful, destructive, constructive, but they're also wild, very difficult to control. Back when I was in college, I came across a little acrostic by a guy named Brent Earls, who was a pastor in Kansas City at the time. It's a summary of what the proverb says about our words and controlling our words. It's an acrostic using talk, T-A-L-K, T-A-L-K. T, think before you speak. Words are wild. So oftentimes the proverbs tell us to think before we speak. Again, I just want you to get a feel for how often the Bible says, speaks to us about words. He who restrains his words. See, words are wild. He who restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Think before you speak. Like a wise old man said, be careful to taste your words before they cross your teeth. Right? T, think before you speak. A, avoid sour speakers. The wisdom of Proverbs teaches us not only to control our own tongue, but also to control our ears. Not only to be careful about what we're saying, but also be careful about what we're hearing. Think before you speak and avoid sour speakers. Proverbs 4:24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put devious speech far from you, yours and others. Proverbs 26, verse 20 through 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention dies down. Like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like a dainty morsel. They go down into the innermost parts of the body. They're sweet, but they make you sick. Not only should we control our tongue, but we need to be careful about who we're listening to. The Talmud, a collection of Jewish wisdom statements, says, the slanderous tongue kills three. The slandered, the slanderer, and the one who listens. And we all know that we shouldn't say bad things. But sometimes we're too inclined to listen to them. And you know, if no one's listening, then pretty soon the talk stops. Right? And the kind of people who show up for Sunday evening worship are generally not the kind of people who are going to tear others down with your words. But you are also the kind of people whom, if you'll stop listening, then the conversation will fall quiet. So think before you speak. Avoid sour speakers. L, learn the art of silence. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. What a statement. Listen, there's no if, and, or but there. That's an observation of fact, a statement of settled truth. If you talk enough, you'll cross a line. Where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's considered prudent. Learn the art of silence. T-A-L-K. Know the power of a word rightly spoken. Our words, remember, are weapons for good or for bad. And wisdom tells us not only that it's wrong to say the wrong thing, but it's also wrong to not say the right thing. And some of us in this room have trouble saying what we should not say. And others of us in this room have this tendency to not say what we should. And both of them are wrong. We need to know the power of a word rightly spoken. Look at these proverbs. A man has joy and an apt answer. And how delightful is a timely word. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstance. Now listen, don't misunderstand this. I know what some of you are doing right now. You're thinking, oh, but I never know what to say. I wish I could, you know, the circumstance comes and I don't know what to say. And these proverbs are talking about somebody who just always seems like they know what to say. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is when you do know what to say and you fail to say it. When you have the right answer, the encouraging word, the kind remark, and because you're too busy or too preoccupied, too self-focused, maybe too shy, whatever reason, you don't speak up and say it. Know the power of a word rightly spoken. Dr. Ray taught at Southwestern Seminary for years and years and years before my time there. And on Friday, when he would send the seminary preacher boys out into those churches, he tended to say, "Boys, be nice. Everybody's having a hard time." Now, that's not a bad way to frame your day. Be nice. Everybody's having a hard time. Know the power of a word rightly spoken. Remember that Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment." Isn't that a great statement? Only such a word that builds up the brother or the sister according to the need of the moment. Know the power of word rightly spoken. So Proverbs teaches us your words are powerful, your words are wild, and your words reveal your heart. Now we've already seen in a few of these Proverbs this parallel between the tongue and the heart. Look at Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Proverbs are Hebrew poetry, and Hebrew poetry is almost exclusively parallelism, one statement running parallel to the other. And oftentimes in the book of Proverbs, the parallel idea is the words and the heart. Your tongue and your heart. And listen, this is a truth that we resist aggressively. We don't want this to be true. But it is the truth of God's word that your heart and your mouth are connected. They run parallel. It's not just talk. Your words reveal your heart. They're not disconnected. A lot of times, it's just talk. Somehow, my words are disconnected from the real me. What I say, it's not actually reflective of my character. But that is something that Solomon will have none of. He forces us, he confronts us with this truth. My words reveal my heart. And I tell you what, Solomon is a pussycat compared to Jesus. Some of the harshest things Jesus ever had to say were for men and women who were trying to distance themselves from their words. If you have a New Testament, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Well, I think I just have one verse maybe on the screen for this, but I want to read more than one. And we might not even have any, but you've got your Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through verse 37. Jesus is being rejected, resisted, criticized, condemned, attacked by the words of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And look what he says in Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Right? You hear what Jesus is saying? If you have an apple tree and it grows rotten apples, you would never think of saying, well, that's a good tree. It just has bad fruit. Delightful tree, rotten fruit. No, you'd say that's a bad tree. You know the tree by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Listen, if the Lord would give me the opportunity to just take one page out, this might be it, right? This exposes us. And we don't want this to be true. We live in a culture that is always trying to separate a person's conduct from their character, right? an axe murderer is on TV and his mama says, well, he's really a good boy. Right? We're always trying to separate conduct from character. Even more, we separate our words from our character. Well, that's just talk. But Jesus says, no. Your mouth speaks out of the abundance of your heart. Spurgeon is preaching on this passage when he says, that which is in the well comes up in the bucket. That's what Jesus is saying. And so, when we recognize the power of words and how difficult it is for us to control our words, and when we're forced to admit that our words reveal what's really in our heart, then we're forced to fall on our face and ask Jesus to change our words by changing our hearts. Ultimately, it's not a vocabulary problem. It's not even a discipline problem. It's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. That envy, that jealousy, that hatred, that pettiness. It's a heart problem. Some of you maybe have read about a great revival that took place in southern Wales in the early 20th century, 1907, 08 to 1910, about in there, if I remember right. A powerful movement of God in southern Wales. Some people say maybe as many as 80,000 people were saved in about 2 months in the south part of Wales in that period of time. And there are a number of firsthand accounts of that revival that are fascinating to read. And one is by a man named W.T. Stead, who's an eyewitness of the revival and its impact. And the economy in southern Wales was dominated by coal mining. A lot of people who were saved were coal miners and their families. And Stead makes this observation. He says, in the long, dim galleries of the mine, where once the haulers swore at their ponies in Welshified English terms of blasphemy. Do you understand that? Their language was not good when they were talking to the ponies hauling the coal. There is now but to be heard the haunting melody of the revival music being sung in the coal mines. The pit ponies, having been driven by oaths and curses since they first bore the yoke, are being retrained to do their work without the incentive of profanity. What an observation. Did you hear that? When those coal miners got saved, their language changed so dramatically that the ponies didn't know what they were talking about anymore. They had to retrain them because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we confess, we're forced to confess in the mirror of your word that far too often our hearts are not right with you, with the people around us, and our words expose us. Forgive us, Father. Cover us in your grace. Even more, continue to sanctify, purify, and change our hearts so that when we speak words of love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. I pray, Father, that no unwholesome word would proceed from our mouths, but words of edification, words that give grace to those who hear according to the need of the moment, to the praise and the glory of your grace. In Christ Jesus' name, Amen. Let's stand together and sing. If you need to make a public response in this time, the invitation is open for you now.